Through an official point of entry. A group called the Dream Nine was held for 3 weeks after trying to enter the U.S. in July. All nine are now seeking asylum. On Monday, the activists marched across a bridge connecting Mexico to the United States wearing graduation caps and gowns, chanting, "Undocumented and unafraid."
Okay. Unafraid! Unafraid!
Nine of the people who were detained after they crossed in Laredo have been released on humanitarian parole. They include four Dreamers and their parents. The others were transferred to a processing center in El Paso. Well, two of the people released join us now from Laredo via Democracy Now! Video stream. Javier Cortez, who is 16, and his father, Javier Calderon, are from Michoacán, Mexico. Javier Cortez has lived in the United States since his family came here when he was 3 years old. Welcome, both of you, to Democracy Now! Javier, could you tell us what you are trying to do with the protest that was held yesterday?
Yeah, we were just trying to go back home, me and the other Dreamers all together and the family. You know, we were all just trying to go back home because we all fear going back to Mexico for reasons like, you know, we feel unsafe or we struggle and stuff like that. So we were trying to go back home.
Why did your family return to Mexico, Javier?
Me and my dad returned to Mexico, and my mom and my little brother, my sister returned to Mexico because we had an urgent emergency call that my grandma, the doctor said she could have passed away at any moment. So after years of not seeing family members, my family decided to go back to Mexico and see them. I had no other choice but to follow them.
And what's your reaction when you hear this continuing situation with the Obama administration, that while the president says he supports immigration reform, he is continuing to preside over record numbers of deportations of people, the majority to Mexico, really, but through to other parts of the world as well?
Well, it's like confusing for me because I think there should be like something that helps undocumented people in the U.S. and, you know, like lower the deportations. It's unfair.
Can you talk about the action you engaged in yesterday as you tried to cross the border, Javier?
Well, yeah, we were all marching, you know, it was strong energy, all of us, good vibes, you know, just trying to go back home, all of us together. And I think it's unfair that the other Dreamers are still detained. I think they should get out. Because those rooms are cold, and I'm pretty sure they don't eat well in detention centers. So I think they should get out and go back with their families and be released just like me and the other families. I think they should go home.
I'd like to ask your father as well, Javier Calderon, why you decided to participate in the protest yesterday. Señor Calderon, si nos puede decir por qué decidió participar en la protesta ayer.
Bueno, más que nada, por la seguridad de mi familia, para estar bien y para que mi hijo se realice como estudiante y termine sus estudios.
Yeah, he said that to like have a better future and so that I can finish my studies. And more than anything, he said that so I can have a better future.
And could you tell us, Señor Calderón, the situation right now in Mexico that made you decide to come again to the United States? ¿Se nos puede decir que la situación ahora en su país, que por qué decidió tratar de entrar a los Estados Unidos?
Es muy difícil y muy complicada y es de dar miedo estar ahorita en nuestros países.
He says it's a complicated and struggling life in Mexico, and he also mentioned before that because of the violence and stuff like that.
Were you nervous about the border crossing, Javier? You could respond to that, Javier Cortez.
Nervous? No. I was actually I was feeling good vibes. I was feeling energy. It was something powerful between everybody.
And what do you want to see happening now? What is your plan? Why did you drop out of school in Mexico?
Oh, the reason I dropped out in Mexico was because I was struggling to understand what they were saying. And the teachers, you know, sometimes they didn't even go to school. And not only that, but the kids were brutal. They were, like, always, you know, teasing me, name-calling. I've been jumped, robbed. it was difficult, so I had to drop out. And, you know, my future plans right now are to go back to school, finish school, and, you know, be a doctor. I'm really interested in that.
And when you're saying the difficulties in school, it's because you, having been raised in the United States, you're largely English dominant, even though you might understand some Spanish, and now you were being taught in Spanish?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was a problem, too. Coming from the U.S., all of a sudden go to Mexico, and everything was so different.
Finally, Carissa, the protests that are taking place tomorrow and on Tuesday, can you talk about the significance of outside pressure? We talk about congressional debate and legislation, but what difference that means? And people like our guests on the border right now, what it means for them to be doing what they're doing, Javier Cortez and his father, Javier Calderon.
As I had mentioned earlier, I don't think that this is about leaving up to the devices of politicians themselves to decide. And that's why I think the forces for immigration reform have been organizing in a vast variety of ways to make sure that every lever available to exert pressure and to create space for a solution to happen is created. We're not going to leave any stone unturned. So this is a continuation, not a new thing. It's a continuation and escalation of work that has been happening. And we're going to see events in more than 160 cities that are culminating in D.C. next week, but are a sign of things that are going to continue and grow until this gets done. Because as we are seeing, we should not have a situation where young people, where their parents are putting themselves at risk because they are willing to contribute and are contributing to our country. We need a solution, and the most ironic part is that we have it within our hands to do. We have the elements to get it right, and we're going to continue to exert pressure until there's nowhere to hide.
And, Clarissa, you mentioned the march that will follow on Tuesday in Washington. My understanding is that given the government shutdown, there's been new difficulties. The Park Service doesn't want to give a permit for the National Mall because they don't have enough people working to be able to accommodate that, even though singers, entertainers like Olga Tañón and Los Tigres del Norte were planned to be at an event in D.C. Could you how are you going to deal with that, the government shutdown having a major protest in Washington?
Believe me, organizers are nothing if not resourceful, and they are figuring a way to move the location to make it work. And as you mentioned, the event on Tuesday is in particular has more of the feel of a community concert, because that's what it is. We know that we've been in this fight for so long. People in the community have been putting blood, sweat, and tears into this effort, and this is a celebration for the community to come together, recharge batteries, but at the same time call the question on all members of the House about which side they're on.
I want to thank you all for being with us. Carissa Martinez de Castro, Director of Immigration and National Campaigns at the National Council of La Raza, and also thank you to Javier Cortez and Javier Calderon from Michoacán, Mexico. Javier Jr. has lived in the United States since his family came here when he was 3 years old. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. We'll link to Juan Gonzalez's column in the New York Daily News, headlined, President Obama Heads Towards Deportation Milestone as Immigration Reform Flounders, at democracynow.org. When we come back, we'll be joined by Max Blumenthal. He's written a new book. It's called The Little Things.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, October 13th. Engelbert Humperdinck will be at the NYCB Theater at Westbury, 7 p.m. Atmat Ali will be at Lobster Roll Northside in Bating Hollow. Ollie Rockberger, acoustic duo with Ryan Scott, will be at the Rockwood Music.
People used to call to make you run out of the room and then come back all chagrined and embarrassed.
631-632-6901. Yeah, money's the root of all evil, but money also fends off evil.
It can, yes, because the people that take the money from us are inherently evil, and then they go away for a while. Well,
this is a twisted logic,
my friend. No one likes creditors, so why not? Yeah, they're all evil, from the electric company to that guy that gives us protection from... Well, I guess I shouldn't talk about that.
That's right.
But yeah, just everybody that we have to pay off for one utility or another. Our expenses, basically, if WUSB was a person, we'd be low income. We'd be very low income.
Correct, and we'd be struggling.
Yeah, think about that. Imagine a radio station with a transmitter that's on all the time and all kinds of other electronic gizmos that have to be operating for a radio station to exist. Imagine that subsisting on the income of somebody who lives below the poverty level. That's pretty much what we're talking about.
That's correct. Yeah. And right now, you know, our transmitter is struggling,
yeah,
to say the least. Yes. We usually don't talk about things like this during the during our broadcast time, but we're currently some of you out there may have heard or may barely be able to hear the fact that our signal is weakening considerably.
Speak louder, then.
I'm trying to.
All right, we have to yell because we're at reduced power.
And right now, I'm looking at this readout right now, and we're actually at 14.5% power going out. Now, that doesn't mean...
That might not be true, because...
Correct.
From what I've been told, that digital display is incapable of displaying the actual... I don't understand the logic, but apparently we're more than that.
Well, the logic is also that we cover a certain ground the same, but we're more easily interfered with, mm-hmm. shall we say,
yes.
at lower power.
That's true. The most important thing with FM signals is height.
Correct.
And you can be 50,000 watts if you're 2 feet off the ground. You're not going to really overcome barriers like buildings and trees. We're high up. We're on Bald Hill. So a reduction in power doesn't hurt us as much as you might think. If we're down to, say, 30%, that might be more reasonable, what we're actually mm-hmm. broadcasting at. It's not 30% of the actual broadcast area that we're reaching, but it is reduced. It's definitely reduced.
And it's a 30% strength, mm-hmm. essentially.
Now, right? If you were to bring our height down to 30%, then you would see a big reduction, a huge reduction. This also doesn't take into account our internet listeners, of which there are many. Everybody can pitch in and contribute something and keep this place alive, because that is quite important. And it's not a foregone conclusion that radio stations will remain around. Every day we hear more dire stories about radio stations that are switching formats, being taken over, just turning the transmitter off because they can't afford it anymore. Under the mistaken assumption that radio is dead, that nobody listens to radio anymore, we know that's not true. We know that because we hear from you, our listeners, and we know that people actually listen. They don't just have USB on as background music or background talk. People actually are listening to the radio like they used to in the old days, like serious radio listeners. I guess we can call them hard listeners. Listen to the radio, you
know? That's right.
Because it's not background music. It's when it's music over this radio station, it's music you should be paying attention to, because it's really good, it's really new, it's really decisive and cutting edge, and something you're not going to hear anyplace else, and it probably is the future. And if it's not the future, it's a pretty good present. And when it's talk, we're talking about things that will pique your interest. And that is what you're preserving by calling 631-632-6901.
631-632-6901. Yeah. Give us a call. Help keep WUSB on the air. These are very, very difficult times for us. We have some equipment issues, all these different things that are happening here to weaken our signal.
Don't
want
to bore you with the details.
We don't.
This is our problem. We'll deal with it. We'll get it fixed. We'll build things again like we always do.
631-632-6901. Call and make a pledge. If Off the Wall is something you appreciate on WUSB Stony Brook, the conversations, the trips, you know, that Emmanuel and Kyle take, that we partake with them, just some great, great, great stuff. If any of these things are important to you, 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook.
Do we have incentives for the folks?
We do. We have all kinds of incentives, and I wish I had any of them in my hand.
You mean just keeping the radio station going is not incentive enough, Finn?
It should be, my friend. It should be.
For shame. Of course
it should be. But we have hats. We have mugs. I'll hook you up with all that kind of a thing.
When Finn goes tearing into the other room, which is it's right behind the glass here, but to get there, he's got to run down a corridor, so it'll be
I'm looking at the phone through a telescope down the hall.
So
right
when
now.
That phone rings and he tears out of here, he will land, hopefully, near the list of incentives that he can offer you when you do call.
631-632-6901.
And if you're listening to this show later, you can go to wusb.fm and pledge there, because we have a form online, and say that your favorite show is Off the Wall, if that is in fact true, because you might be subjected to a lie detector test later.
That is correct, and truth is all important here at WUSB. Yeah, for a $35 pledge, we have all kinds of CDs. We have a ceramic mug. We have the baseball cap, the scarf. Winter is coming up, baby. It's the red scarf. You know, those are the Stony Brook colors, you know, Emmanuel, right?
Stony Brook has colors?
Yeah, well, they have some kind of colors.
Red.
Red and white.
The flag of socialism. That's what Stony Brook, well, that would make sense, I guess.
There you go.
Leftist
public university.
School, yeah, I've heard of that.
The Berkeley of the East, as they used to say, right?
Berkeley of the East. But, you know, when they called this place the Berkeley of the East back in the 60s, they meant for it to be, as far as academic excellence. It turned out to be the center of drugs and anti-war demonstrations, just like the Berkeley out there in the West.
Correct.
It's not what they had in mind, but it definitely put us in the history books.
631-632-6901. A pledge of $50 gets you a T-shirt, a media, any size T-shirt you want. We'll hook you up. $75 gets you a sweatshirt. 90.1, that's $90.10, gets you not only a membership to the exclusive WUSB 90.1 club, but a sweatshirt, a blanket throw, and a CD, plus tons of other things I can hook you up with when you give us a call. So any amount is great, 35, 50, 75, 10, 25, whatever you can't afford, plus...
1,000, 2,000.
Plus, we do take installment premiums.
Oh, yes.
Which I think the current minimum is 60 on that. And that turns out to be $5 a month. That's
not
great.
Not 60 a month. $5 a month. That's pretty good.
$5 a month. I can hook you up with that. You can
that's
become
like
an annual
coffee.
Member
that's going
that way.
Down and getting a coffee. And instead of doing that, giving us $5 once a month.
631-632-6901. You know, this is certainly my favorite show on WUSB and
wait, your show's not your favorite show?
Well, my show's my second favorite show. It's a terrible complex I have.
This is my least favorite show. No, because I never get to listen to it. I have to always be here, and I don't know what I'm saying sometimes. And I hear about it from other people, and you know, I'd like to hear it someday. I really would.
There you
would.
Go. Well,
but if you're lucky enough to hear it,
and I can tell
enough,
you it's very good.
Well, thanks.
Just take my word for it.
All right. I take your word on
everything. And we would like the listeners to chime in and put their words into 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB Stony Brook. Make a pledge to Off the Wall. And let us know how important this station is, how important this show is in your life. Let us know that you appreciate the alternative to the same old, same old. 631-632-6901.
Do you know the Sunday New York Times cost $5? Now, what we're asking you to do is take the cost of one Sunday Times and pay that once a month for a year. And that will be great for us. Imagine that. Do you think twice about buying the Sunday Times? Maybe some of us do. But if you do buy the Sunday Times, $5, okay, no big deal. And what does it cost per day? It's like a dollar now, more? I don't
right,
know.
But I mean, who wants to read a liberal rag like that? We want to tune in on the real news right here.
631-632-6901. You know, I just want to get back to Obamacare because I've had a fun week kind of dealing with that. I haven't really spent every waking moment trying to figure it out, but I am determined. I'm moving ahead slowly with my plotting course to get signed up for this. And last week, I got to the point where I was able to log in. The New York State of Health, right? That's basically what you get transferred to from healthcare.gov if you click on New York. It's run by New York State, I guess, but it was having all kinds of problems. And every time I would go to it, it'd say the system is down for scheduled maintenance. Didn't matter if I went in the daytime, at nighttime, weekend, weekday, always the same thing. And finally, I decided I was going to just use a different browser, and I used a different browser, and I got right in. So if you're having that kind of trouble, they have had all sorts of problems, and I guess a massive number of people have been trying to get into the site or whatever. Yeah, it's easy to make fun of, and I will make fun of it because it's spectacular. But you might want to either get rid of your cookies or something or try a different browser, and you might get through that way. But when I finally did get through, I basically gave them all the information they were asking for, which was my name, my social security number, date of birth, things like that. And after I gave them all this information, you know what happened?
What happened?
I got this message saying, "We were not able to verify the identity of this person. Please confirm the name, SSN, gender, and date of birth." And no matter what I did, no matter how many times I went back, I kept getting that same error message. Now, you know me, Finn. I know my name. Right?
You do.
I know my social security number.
I can't confirm that.
Well, I do. I looked it up, too, just in case I was wrong. I'm pretty sure I know my gender.
Me, too.
I you know, okay. But, you know, it's only two guesses. I tried the other one. That didn't work either. And I know my date of birth. I know all these things. They're all correct. And there was no way to get past this. It was so frustrating. It was like a Kafka thing, you know, just who am I? Where am I? What am I?
So don't you find that the same people who, you know, I mean, these are, you know, they have access to the people who run the NSA, right?
Sure.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, why can't they design a little bit of a better website?
I just don't. Yeah, I think they did this quickly in a rush. And I have proof of this.
Quickly and in a rush.
Would you please look at what's on the screen right there? I've called up the New York State of Health official health plan marketplace. Could you read what it says by voter registration?
Absolutely not.
Well, you have to walk up to it. All right.
I'm walking up to it.
Voter registration. Finn reading live from the New York State of Health website.
If you have a driver's license or ID issued by New York State DMV.
You can register to vote or a download registration form. Now, what you did, Finn, is something known as self-correcting. You see something and you automatically do what Google does and correct.
Did I?
Yeah. Now, why don't you go back and read it again, except this time read it a little bit more carefully. And make sure you handle the microphone, yes.
I'm trying to. Voter registration, if you have a diver's license.
That's right. It's not a driver's license. It's a diver's license.
So that's why you can't get in. You don't have a driver's license.
That is what's on their site. This has been on their site for weeks. If you have a diver's license issued by the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles, well, first of all, I know they're not talking about a diver's license because DMV does not issue those.
As far as we know.
But that's indicative of the amount of care that has been taken in this website.
Wow.
And I've gotten all, I've printed out all the different errors I got. We are sorry. It looks like the page you are trying to access is not available. Don't worry. Your personal information is safe. The New York
Oh,
State,
yeah. They're the people of trust.
New York State Health Plan Marketplace has come across an unexpected error. We are working to fix the problem. Try again in a few minutes. And then, of course, they're down. Then finally, after a week of this, congratulations. Your identity has been successfully verified.
So they admit they know who you are.
They didn't admit anything. They just basically, I kept entering the same information, and eventually it worked. And I had to basically double check a couple of things. They asked me a few questions, such as where did I get my mortgage? They gave me a choice of five possibilities, a street I used to live on, in what city. And it's funny how they
so they actually give you choices.
They give you choices. Like, for instance, a place I used to live was either Brewster, New York, Katana, Croton-on-Hudson, or none of the above. So, yeah. And then they asked who is a current or previous employer. And I had to choose one of these five. Samuel Rokenbaum, USA, in 2600 Enterprises, Inc., Pets Smart, Whirlpool, or none of the above.
I know the answer to that.
Well, I did work for Whirlpool for a little while. I was the Maytag repairman, and that didn't work out because it wasn't the same company.
You had nothing to do.
According to our records, you graduated from which of the following high schools, and they listed all these high schools, including Master's Touch Christian School.
Well, that would have been out of the question.
Well, that one definitely did not apply. So, yeah, but the thing is, I eventually got it to work. And today, in fact, right before showtime, which is why I couldn't really look at it, I got a listing of different insurance plans. And they all look pretty affordable, like under $300 a month, which isn't bad. And for a deductible much less than what I have right now. Right now I have a $10,000 deductible, and those were $3,000 deductibles. Which is still lousy, but at least it's less lousy.
Right.
So I'm going to look into that. And this could be good. This could be good. And this is, you know, for somebody that's paying for the insurance themselves. If you can't afford insurance, there are all kinds of financial things that kick in. The important thing is this enables everybody to be insured.
Right.
And it can work. And we have to try.
Right. It's absolutely 100% a step in the right direction, I think.
Oh, good. I'm glad you agree.
631.
I was looking forward to a debate, but I guess there's no debate to be had here.
631-632-6901.
How about this? Okay, I'm going to debate this. What do you think of the Washington Redskins?
Yeah, you mean the name?
Okay, you saw through my little subterfuge. Yes, the name, not the team, the actual
Even
name.
I, who do not follow professional sports, am aware of this.
Yeah. More than 500 years after Christopher Columbus's encounter with the natives of the Americas...
Why does Columbus always come into it?
Any enduring uneasiness between Indians and mainstream society is exemplified by the controversy over the Washington Redskins' name, which took a new turn last week when President Obama... Yes, the socialist, Marxist, Muslim alien from outer space, when he spoke of legitimate concerns that the mascot is racist, according to some Indian leaders. Team owners strongly dispute any racism behind the mascot and won't change it, saying the Redskins' name honors where we came from, who we are. But many Native Americans contend it's incredulous that a major sports team in the nation's capital fails to see the word's offensiveness, especially in a game Sunday. Whose rival mascots conjure up the bygone real bloodshed between Cowboys and Indians. I guess that's... Oh, that's why there's a rivalry between the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. I was always trying to figure that out. One's in Dallas, one's in Washington, and they're not close to each other. Is it because of the name?
That's I think it's the name.
Cowboys and Reds... You know, this is the first moment I actually realized that. I always wondered. Some news outlets and sports writers agree aren't printing Redskin in their stories about the NFL team. But, okay, so a lot of people feel very strongly about this. They say it's got nothing to do with racism or Indians. It's the name of a team. It's a proud heritage and things like that. And it's just hard for me to believe that people don't see this. They don't see how this is something that is offensive. Look at the actual artwork. And you see a Native American with a feather in his head. It's obviously alluding to somebody with red skin, as they put it. And in a not flattering way,
and I agree. However, the angles, the historical angle with the thing is the same kind of historical angle that people who, as also happened this last weekend, fly the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tradition. That's their general angle on these things. But you know, it comes a time when tradition has to change.
Yes. Now, a flag is one thing. You know, a flag is a symbol.
Flag is a, yes, right.
But this is a little bit more direct than just that symbol. This mm-hmm. is actually a word, and it's a picture. It's an image. Very, very direct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Confederate flag had a picture of, say, a slave on it or somebody being lynched or anything else that, you know, the Confederate state was well known for,
mm-hmm.
Then I think it would be a lot easier for people to say, yeah, it could be offensive. That could be something that people might take in a bad way.
Yeah, and we'll pick something that's even, you know, a northern city, let's say, like New York.
Mm-hmm.
The New York N-words.
Yeah,
maybe that
think
was
about
maybe
that.
That was traditional.
Was there a team called that?
No, that I know of.
But if
but
there was,
let's
yes.
assume it's traditional. Would it be acceptable to say that?
Let's of course it wouldn't be. But let's go one degree or a couple of degrees less offensive than that. And just have, like, you know, a team that makes you think of African Americans, say New York Homeboys or something. I think people would find that offensive, as well they should, because it's stereotyping people in a particular way, which is not accurate. Or, you know, something else alluding to history. I don't know why we're saying New York. Any city. How about a nickname called Slaves or something like that?
Right.
That would be pretty damn offensive, too. Or I would even say if you had a team called the Cincinnati Black Men, all right, and you had a picture of a black guy there, I think people might be a little offended by that. Or Arabs or Jews or whatever.
Right.
Here you have Redskins, which right away is not a compliment. Walk up to a Native American and say, hey, Redskin. It's not going to be a pleasant encounter. I can guarantee that. It's an offensive term. And the reason why you don't see very many people demonstrating in front of the Capitol or at these games is because the genocide of this particular race is so complete and thorough that there aren't very many left in mm-hmm. the first place. If this country had a strong Native American population, I mean a strong one, where they were in the government and they were basically running cities and states and things like that, as they should. Canada is a few steps closer to that, still not nearly enough. But you notice all these teams are in the United States. They
right.
don't name teams like that in places where Native Americans have any power whatsoever. If there were more Native Americans in a position of power, you would see you would see an outcry. You would see much more of an outcry. Thing is, I do sympathize with people who are used to the name of their team, and they see that as the history. They see that as something that is worthy of standing up for and protecting. I don't think they're seeing the bigger picture, though. That I don't think they're looking back into history and seeing how something is negative. And this is true of all sorts of things throughout history, where you believe something is true at one point, like, say, civil rights might be a threat, gay marriage might be a threat, women having the right to vote might be a threat, you know, communism even might be a threat. All sorts of things, whether you agree with them or not, can be seen in a particular way. You can have McCarthyism in the 1950s and then in the 1960s realize that was a dumbass move, you know? But otherwise, reasonable people can be caught saying really bad things.
Correct.
I want to...
Wait a minute. Women have the right to vote?
See? Yeah.
Wow.
Missed that one, didn't you?
I did.
I want to read you a quote.
Please do.
All right. And tell me something about this person. I will say, then, I am not nor ever have been in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races, that I am not nor ever have been in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And I will say, in addition to this, that there is a physical difference between the white and black races, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. And inasmuch as they cannot so live, while they do remain together, there must be the position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any other man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white race. I say upon this occasion, I do not perceive that because the white man is to have the superior position, the Negro should be denied everything. Not exactly the most enlightened opinion, would you say?
Not at all, but I bet you it's a man in his time.
Yeah. You want to guess who said that? Did you already peek at the paper?
I did not. Okay. You know I cannot see that far.
All right.
Does his title begin with 16?
16?
Yeah.
What kind of title begins with 16?
As in 16th?
16th. I don't know what you're referring to.
President?
I don't know. Well, who's that? I don't know the numbers.
That would be Mr. Lincoln.
You're right.
There you go.
But that's a bizarre way to guess. No, Abraham Lincoln said that. Abraham Lincoln actually said that. The guy that we revere, that we see as a guy who freed the slaves and basically, I think, wound up with a completely different position in the end, but had a pretty bigoted view.
Certainly.
At another
point.
But
he was a man of his time.
He was a man of his time.
That's where we see the record of ideas changing.
And it's easy to condemn people based on what we have learned and how we've progressed. Was he evil? No, I don't think he was evil, but he was certainly misguided, as was everybody of that time. And it would be very hard to convince the Lincoln of then of his errors.
Of course.
But it's easy for us to see them now. And that's why I think someday, hopefully someday soon, we'll look back on this whole Washington Redskin thing and say, wow, I can't believe people were that misguided that they actually thought that was a good name for a team. You know, it's really, well, of course that's offensive. How could that not be seen as offensive?
Right. But the other hand is, the big debate, I think, is that should those things be legislated?
I think
public pressure should handle it, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there isn't enough public pressure right now because...
And, of course, no legislation is going on.
People are misguided. I'm sorry, what?
There's no legislation going on either.
Yes, no legislation at all. I would hope people would have enough common sense to fix this. But, yeah, they don't a lot of times. The civil rights movement, that was government-led. The federal government stepped in because the people weren't doing it.
631-632-6901. It's almost the end of this hour. You have your chance right now to contribute to Off the Wall, to contribute to WUSB Stony Brook. Let us know this conversation is important to you. Let us know that these ideas are important to you. Let us know that the things being said here are, whereas they may not be the the highest of pinnacles in the world. I'm sorry. it's certainly something for you to think about, something for you to talk about, what have you. 631-632-6901. 1-800-981-8701. Give us a call right now.
Yes, please do, because we only have a couple of minutes left. It would make us very, very happy to see that phone ring or to hear that phone ring. And you can basically hear the happiness in our voice if someone actually does call in
That's
these
right.
last few minutes of the show. And let me also say that there's a lot of nonsense going on in Washington, D.C. right now. We handle finances a whole lot better than your elected officials do.
You bet.
Your donation to us will be used for this radio station to keep us going, to improve our sound, to fix equipment, to maintain things, to pay the bills. And we do this out of love. We don't do this because we get paid a red penny. We do this because we believe in radio. And hopefully that's the reason you call 631-632-6901. We mentioned a few incentives that we can give you if you call in. But the real reason to call in is to keep WUSB strong and on the air as Long Island's alternative. There are no other stations like WUSB on Long Island.
This is it.
Yeah.
And 631-632-6901. Emmanuel and I have foregone our salaries during the shutdown time.
Oh, yeah.
631-632-6901.
We've foregone other people's salaries, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're in the hole. I mean, you know, basically, I could be in so many different places today doing all kinds of other things, but I'm here because this is where I want to be. Right? I think I said that as clearly as I could.
That is right.
631-632-6901. Doesn't matter where you are. And thank you for that person calling in. There goes Finn.
Keep the music going.
Okay, you can run faster than that, Finn. I've seen you. And if you're out there someplace in this world, anywhere in this world, of course you can call in and pledge whatever you can afford. I don't think it's ever been as low as we are asking today. $5, $5 pledge is actually enough to make us extremely happy, because $5 a month for the next 12 months, well, you do 5 times 12, all right, and you carry the one over there, and it becomes $60 a year, $60 for this next year at $5 a month. You know, you can't get any better than that, and I don't care what all the other public TV and radio stations are offering. Nobody offers a better deal than that. $5 a month, 631-632-6901. It all adds up. It all adds up, and it keeps WUSB on the air. And as long as WUSB is on the air, there is hope. There is hope in this world. Yeah, it's true. It is true because, like I said, we're basically it as far as alternatives on Long Island. Yes, there's all kinds of satellite programming, all kinds non-commercial things going on where you just hear a particular style of music over and over again. But this is the only place where people actually walk through doors, open the doors first and then walk through them, and converse with the audience, open up the phone lines, not just for taking funds, but for taking calls. You become a part of this place as well. And you know what? You can come here too, and you can become a part of this place, as I did so long ago. And that's what community radio is all about. It's something that I think is one of the best parts of radio, period. And unfortunately, it's also one of the weaker parts because of all the corporate interests out there that like to take over frequencies. The reason they like to take over frequencies is because they realize the value of being able to broadcast to a local audience, and in our case, to an audience around the world with our unique local sound. Yeah, 631-632-6901. I'm out of time, but Finn is coming up next as soon as he finishes processing that pledge there. And if anyone else calls, if anyone else calls, I guess you'll be messing up Finn's show a little bit because he'll have to take that pledge too. And, whatever, it doesn't matter. 631-632-6901. Please give a call. If you're listening to this later, you can either call and pledge during the show that's on the air whenever you do listen to this, or go to WUSB.FM and pledge there. Money is the problem, but money is also the solution. And together, we'll work it out. We'll see you next week. Good night.
So you wake up every morning just to work and face yourself. And then somebody tells you that you're owned by someone else. So what's it all about? It's money! Work it out! The people of the world today so tired and so lost. Their argument for freedom is how much does it cost? So what's it all about? It's money! Work it out! Money! Money! All around!
Yeah, kids, Finn with you on Finn's Revolution until 9 p.m. Tonight, Michael Clarity will be talking about his great, great, great event that's occurring this Thursday right here at the Velvet Lounge in Stony Brook. I do believe Poet Laureate of Suffolk County, George Wallace, will be with us. Russ Green, among many others. Stay tuned. Yeah, kids, this is brand new from Harold Budd in the background. It's a real toe tapper from Harold Budd. Yeah. You know, Harold Budd used to work with Eno, all the rest of that. In just a few moments, we're going to have Michael Clarity and George Wallace and I believe Russ Green and a few others right here in the studio talking about and doing some reading in anticipation of this gig on Thursday night right here in Stony Brook at the Velvet Lounge. So stay tuned for that while we zone out to a little Harold Budd.